Hey everyone, this is Jordan from SleekLens.com and welcome to this week's episode of the Sleek Lens Photography Podcast. As always, thank you for joining me each and every week for this fun little podcast where we don't get too crazy and we just talk about a lot of cool things when it comes to photography. So today what I want to do is actually talk about a topic that I've been kind of playing with for probably the last month or so. And that is the switching to mirrorless debate that a lot of people talk about online. So with Nikon and Canon just recently, very recently actually announcing their new mirrorless systems, and Sony being a big player in the mirrorless market for a very long time, I thought I would kind of give not breakdowns of what each camera system is good for or anything like that, but just some real world advice for those of you who might be thinking about switching to a mirrorless system instead of using your traditional DSLR system. So I'm going to be talking about roughly about 5-6 topics here of some things you might want to consider when thinking about switching to the mirrorless market. I personally just switched from a Canon 6D, which is a kind of a entry-level beginner full-frame system, or at least it was a while back. Well over 5 years ago is when I bought that camera, and it still works great. It's fantastic today. But I recently bought a Sony A7 R2, which is probably about a two-year-old camera, but it's a full-frame mirrorless camera, and it was my first mirrorless camera. So I'm basically going to cover some topics or concerns that have come up since I've been able to switch back and forth between using a DSLR and using a mirrorless camera. So let's go ahead and jump into some of these topics here, some of the things to think about when you're switching over. And the first one is going to be a very, very big one. It's probably one of the bigger pros or cons, depending on how you look at it, of switching to a mirrorless camera system, and that is the EVF, which that stands for electronic viewfinder. So basically what you're doing is, instead of having a mirror in your camera like a traditional DSLR that will move out of the way, and every time you press the shutter button it'll move out of the way to expose the sensor, that mirror actually allows you to see through the lens and see exactly what you're seeing with really great optical quality because you're looking right through the lens. An EVF is basically the electronic version of that, because since you don't have a mirror, you're not really able to look through the lens. So you're actually looking at a screen that is showing what the sensor is seeing. Most DSLRs now today have what they call a live view mode, which kind of does the same thing, but it's you're still seeing what the sensor's seeing, but that camera, that mirror moves out of the way so it can expose to the sensor. So the EVF, I think, is a very fantastic thing when it comes to kind of seeing how the lighting can change, how the settings can change in your camera. If you're going out on a shoot and the lighting may be tricky, you can really dial that exposure in and see exactly what can be changed with that electronic viewfinder. One thing that that's kind of difficult to understand is that not only are you seeing a electronic view of the sensor on the back of the camera, but when you look through the eye hole, the eyepiece, the actual viewfinder itself, you're also seeing a very small screen of what the sensor is seeing. This is good and bad. This can be bad in a way that the quality of when you look through that viewfinder, at least in the Sony system that I have, it's not that high a quality of an image. So it looks very pixelated, and it's just not what I expected to see when I've been used to looking through a DSLR viewfinder ever since I've started. So it is a little bit lower quality. One cool thing about it, which I really, really like, is if it's on a really bright sunny day and you just need to check and see if you got most of the image, you know, in focus, or you need to make sure you got your exposure calculated correctly. Usually if it's a really bright day, you're trying to look on the back of your camera on the screen and you can really barely tell. You're having to cup your hands over the screen so you can really kind of block out all that sun, but you can actually look in the viewfinder and see the exact playback of your images scrolling through them. So as someone who does real estate a lot, where I'm shooting outside on bright sunny days, that really, really definitely helps make sure I got my photos tack sharp and my exposure is good. Even if it's a really bright sunny day and I can't find shade or something like that, I'm still able to see all the image and cycle through them using the viewfinder. Another really cool thing that I've really enjoyed is the real-time exposure exposure, like I've been saying, the real-time exposure changes, you can see that. You can see the depth of field changes as well, but also the sharpness checking. You're able to see on the viewfinder or on the back of the screen and the viewfinder, you're able to see if you switch into like a manual mode of your focusing, you're able to do like a sharpness check where the screen will kind of change a little bit. In the Sony system, it'll start giving kind of like a red border around everything that is perfectly sharp. That's obviously something you can't do with a DSLR. You kind of have to take a photo or zoom in at 10x or something like that and try to focus on something and then go back out. This you can quickly just look on the back of the screen and check your focus, and you're pretty much spot on. I use that often because it's just so much easier than letting the camera autofocus, especially with the delays and the adapters, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But that's a really great feature that I really love about mirrorless cameras. So those are some quick points about the EVF. One other thing I want to talk about is the weight of the bodies and the lenses. Now, because there is no mirror in the camera, obviously the cameras are always kind of smaller, typically a lot smaller than a DSLR body. I know the mirrorless camera that I got, the Sony camera, compared to my 6D, Canon 6D, it's almost like half the size. This is really great if you're going out and traveling a lot with your camera. That's really great, obviously, because it's a lighter model, a lot less room to take up in your camera bag. But the lenses are also very lightweight as well. The lenses are a little bit different as well. Different mounting systems can help with that. So weight is a really big deal to you, especially if you are like a travel photographer or someone who always runs out with their camera. Weight is obviously a big deal, so that is one real big thing that I have I've really liked about that as well. I do miss sometimes how big the camera is in the hands, because I know my camera is small and I don't have huge hands, but the camera kind of feels like a toy in a way in my hands. So I find myself kind of overlapping my fingers on buttons, and it can get kind of annoying because I might slip up and hit another button I wasn't supposed to. And whereas on a larger body, the majority of what you're grabbing is the actual grip itself, while you're able to choose, you know, with your forefinger or your thumb, what other buttons you want to press. But it's kind of like my hands all over the camera on the Sony system, so it takes a little bit of getting used to. So now let's talk about a little bit of a drawback when it comes to switching to a mirrorless system, and that is typically, unless you are buying into the same system, you probably are most likely going to have to use an adapter to use any of the lenses that you currently have. So I am able to use my Canon lenses on my Sony. However, I do need an additional adapter to make that happen. And it's not just the fact of being able to connect the camera, but I also have to have that adapter to actually get autofocus to work. Now, I tested it on three lenses that I have, and thankfully, the lens that I use a majority of the time is the adapter works great with that. I can autofocus fairly quickly, and it's really great. But if I were to put like a telephoto lens on there with that adapter, the autofocus is so slow that it's probably easier for me just to manually focus it. I put my little nifty 50 on there as well, and it's almost unusable how much it tries to hunt for focus using that adapter. Now, this could be different if you got a different adapter, a different brand of adapter, but having to use that additional adapter in front of the lens does add a little bit of length to your camera, but it also can affect your lenses in different ways. So that's one thing to think about. Even if you have Nikon lenses, let's say you're buying a Nikon and you're buying you've been using Nikon and you're buying the Nikon camera, the Nikon mirrorless camera that was just announced, and when that's released, you're going to go grab it. You most likely still have to buy an adapter with those because it's a different mounting system. So obviously it'll work a little bit better because it's all the same family, but it's still kind of annoying having to use that adapter. And obviously if you sell your lenses, you won't be able to use your backup body if you're going to keep your DSLR as a backup body, but you also have to spend a lot more money getting the native lenses that go on that Nikon or Canon or whichever. So that's something to think about. I will say that it was kind of kind of annoying in the beginning, having to use that adapter and make sure that the focus was good and all this kind of stuff. But it's gotten a little better now, especially with that focusing mode that I told you about, the sharpness checking. That's really, really great. So having the ability to use your current lenses is a key thing. But just keep in mind, you'll most likely have to buy an adapter. And just like filters that go on the front of your lens, most likely the higher price for the adapter, the better the adapter is going to be. So another aspect I want to cover real quick is cost. I'm not really going to touch on this too much because it kind of just depends on the market that you're in. But I found that the cost of the camera is roughly about the same and maybe a little bit cheaper depending on the models you get. Mine, the current one that I have was about the same price that I paid for my Canon 6D a long, long time ago. I just got the body only and it's really, really great. The price was pretty good. So it just depends on the market that you're in and what kind of camera model you're in. But honestly, what I did was kind of look and see, because I knew I wanted to go to Sony, go look and see the Sony A7 R2 compared to the A7 R3, which is the newer model. The A7 R3 had a lot of newer features, a lot of physical changes as well. But those did not matter to me as much in the type of photography that I do. So I could afford to go down and shoot basically shoot with an older model and it would be fine. The one thing that I will talk about next, which I'll just go ahead and roll into now, is battery life. Obviously, with mirrorless cameras, the battery life is not going to be as good as a traditional DSLR. And one of the main reasons for this is that electronic viewfinder, because that electronic viewfinder is basically two screens on your camera that are always on pretty much. It's not like a DSLR where you can, kind of almost let it sit all day with the camera being on. And, obviously it'll shut off by itself. But the battery life will last a whole lot longer with that camera opposed to a mirrorless camera, which those screens are always running. It's always has to have juice to power those screens. So your battery life will go down. And in the case of my camera, the batteries are fairly small. I was actually worried about that when I was reading the reviews. But I found that even though the battery life isn't as good as what it was compared to my Canon camera, I can still pretty much shoot all the photos that I typically do on my Canon camera and actually shoot up to about 15, 20 minutes of video with that because I do offer video as well in my services. Because I do offer video as well on my services, that would be enough to get me through the day with one battery. Now, it will be very, very low by the time I get back. But my particular camera came with two sets of batteries. I actually went on Amazon and bought two extra batteries that came with a dual charger. So I have rarely had to switch to a second battery for the shoots that I do. So it was a worry in the beginning, but now it's not that big of a deal. So obviously battery life, if you're going to be out for an extended period of time, maybe camping, traveling, something like that, and you're not going to be near a power source, mirrorless cameras, unless you're carrying about 6-7 batteries with you, might not be the option for you. But still, just kind of look into it, just kind of get an average of how much you shoot per day, and then that'll kind of give you a good example of what you might need to think about when you're trying to figure out which camera type you want to go into. All right, and quickly, the last thing I want to talk about is the actual concept of actually switching brands. A lot of people don't really think about that. They say, hey, Sony has great cameras, so I've been shooting Nikon for years, so let's go ahead and switch to Sony and see how that works. It's a lot bigger deal than you might think. Number one, I guess, because of lenses. There's many lenses out there that obviously work only for Nikon or Canon, and you're switching to a different brand, so you have to figure that out. Obviously, with adapters, you can probably get around it, but there are some drawbacks as well. One thing that I've come to think about more and more and more is the actual image quality compared to the camera systems that I'm used to. So a really good example of that is I usually typically shoot real estate majority of the time, 99% of the time. And I'm used to seeing what the colors look like on a Canon camera. When I import my RAW file into Lightroom, I'm able to see the colors that I'm used to. Maybe a different color cast and the warm colors. And Canon always has a little bit more punch in the reds. So I'm used to seeing that. When I switched over to Sony, I actually thought that there was something wrong with my camera because the Sony RAW file had a lot more of a green tint to it. There was a lot more punch in the greens, and it was really difficult to get used to and difficult to figure out how to remove that natural cast that was in the photos. No matter what I was shooting, there was always kind of this green tint to it, and I really don't like that color, so I had to figure out a way to remove that with camera calibration, different shooting modes, white balance, all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't just a matter of plugging in a RAW file and just start editing. It was a matter of playing with that RAW file to make sure I got the best result possible, and that's when you quickly create a Lightroom preset for that, for like a basic adjustment. So that when you put in your RAW files, you can quickly just click that preset, get rid of that stuff, and you're off to editing like you normally would. Also, the other thing about switching to a different brand is the menu systems. The menu systems are incredibly different when it comes to, in my instance, a Canon to a Sony. Incredibly, incredibly different. It would probably be the same way if I went from a Canon to a Nikon. I'm so used to the Canon menu system, I can almost do it with my eyes closed. Nikon, very, very different, especially Sony. Sony is extremely different. So it was, I'm actually still learning the different buttons, the different layouts, the different menus, the different ways I can do shortcut buttons on my Sony to try to get the best possible feel for my camera. There are times when I go out on a job real quick and I'm hunting for how to change the ISO, which is something that is super easy to do on my Canon, but on my Sony, I'm having to change different things, change my focus back, and then change the ISO to back to what I want it to be, and then go back to a different focusing mode and all this kind of stuff. It's very time consuming to figure that out. So it's not as easy as just popping in a battery and a memory card and going and shooting. It's a matter of playing with your camera like you're a brand new photographer almost, and learning more about the camera that you just bought, and kind of trying to forget the old ways of doing things. So the last thing I want to talk about, which I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm sitting here recording this podcast and I wanted to just mention something really, really quick. And this is based on the announcements of the Nikon and the Canon mirrorless cameras that were just released. I've seen a lot of tech reviewers out there, a lot of camera and photography reviews about these camera systems that say that they hate the fact that there's only one memory card, specifically that there's only one memory card slot. And the reason is because the redundancy aspect. So if you're out shooting a wedding or something like that and you're writing to one card, if you have two memory card slots in your camera, you can have basically a backup running the whole time, and you're able to, let's say your first card fails, then your other card can basically be a backup on site, so that way you don't lose your images. I've seen a lot of tech reviewers say this, and I could get in trouble for saying this because I know it might happen to me on my next shoot, but I have never had a camera card fail, knock on wood, just like that, you heard me knock. I've never had a camera card fail and me not able to get the images back. I might have had something go wrong with the import process or something like that, and I might have to run a disk recovery or something like that, a real quick disk recovery program, which has really only happened, I would say, once in the many, many years I've been shooting. Yes, having a dual card slot in some of these cameras would be fantastic. It would be great if it came with a dual card slot, but just because it doesn't have a dual card slot doesn't mean it's not a professional camera. And that's what some of these tech reviewers are saying, that it's not a professional system because it doesn't have dual card slots. If my camera had dual card slots, I would be doing the same thing that all these tech reviewers are saying. I would be having two of the same exact cards in there, having each one card write to the other one to have backup just in case, but it doesn't. And out of all the years that I've been shooting, I've never had a camera that did have dual card slots, and I've rarely ever lost an image. So think about that. Don't listen to the tech reviewers that are out there saying that these cameras are garbage, or even the Sony cameras that don't have a dual card slot. that these cameras are garbage because they don't have a dual card aspect to them, and that therefore that's not a professional camera. It's just one of those things that people like to harp on, and it's just it's really not as important as some of them are making it out to be. So if you've been out there and you've lost images, I do apologize for that, but just think how often that happens. Obviously, if it happens once, that's too much, but think how often that happens and just kind of make the decision for yourself if that's a deal breaker. All right, guys, so I hope you enjoyed some of those kind of real world aspects of someone who has just recently switched to a mirrorless system from using a DSLR the whole time, and just kind of some of the stuff to think about if you're thinking about switching to that system as well, or any kind of mirrorless system. It's just a couple little topics to think about. And hope that kind of gives you some places to go if you're in that realm. So thank you guys for joining me in this week's podcast. I really appreciate you guys coming back. Thank you for sending your emails in, sending your kind words in through email, and rating and reviewing the podcast. That's obviously a big deal. And we really, really greatly appreciate that. So one quick thing when it comes to Sleek Lens, the site has kind of been kind of overhauled as far as pricing goes. So we actually just celebrated a 3-year anniversary and just recently, and we wanted to kind of say a thank you to everybody. So we kind of marked down some prices on the website. We cut everything down basically 20%. So everything is cheaper than it was. So if there's something that on there that you've been wanting to get, maybe a course, maybe a Lightroom workflow, some Photoshop actions, overlays, something like that, go ahead and head over to sleeklens.com and you'll see all the new pricing there. So thank you guys for joining me in this week's podcast. This has been Jordan from Sleek Lens, and I'll see you in the next week.